I just got done listening to an interview from the Wolf of Wall Street. Really interesting interview. We'll get into that in a second or later in the episode. It's an amazing interview because of his perspective, what he's gone through. Hopefully you didn't see the movie because, wow, that movie was not fitting for our eyes. But going through that experience that he had and then living to tell about it and talk about his experiences, there's some great stuff in there for us to talk about. So we're going to get into that. Also, we're going to talk about Best Buy and how they turned it around and how they are competing with Amazon. I think that's really important for those of you who are going to be starting a small shop or have a small retail store or even a small online e-commerce store. It's like, how can you compete against Amazon? So we'll talk about what Best Buy has done and how we can apply that to our businesses, because this is How to Build a Tent, the podcast on how to make you successful in your careers, in your business endeavors, your entrepreneurship, your startups, your finances. We talk about all those things that are related, economics, what's going on in the news, and sometimes politics. I have a guilty pleasure of loving politics, but this isn't a political show, so I try to keep it away from that, only when it applies to the future and our businesses and things like that. Just like trade wars. And for example, it's good for us to know that tariffs are a bad thing, and that is political because they are used in political means to get votes, to protect a certain industry, to make, you know, people make, like, for example, Trump uses tariffs to bolster the blue collar workers. But let's be honest, tariffs are nothing but a tax, and taxes are bad. And by themselves, with nothing else being factored in, tariffs are not good things from an economic standpoint. But we do not live in an economic soul or exclusive world, I guess I should say it that way. But there are many other factors, like countries want to be superpowers, they want to rule, they want to harm our own country, and so those other factors have to come into play. And with that is why I am not against the tariffs with China specifically. And even, you know, if Trump is using these tariffs, I don't know if you heard that he just announced that they are going to be putting in a 5% tariff on Mexico if they don't stop their immigration issue. And we have a huge immigration issue. So he's using tariffs as a bargaining chip, and he's trying to get he's using leverage. He knows how to use leverage. He is a great negotiator from his days in real estate. And that's what he's doing. And yeah, it's going to hurt us. It's a tax has hurt us. It's hurting my investments, I'll tell you that much. And for those of you also in the stock market, you know the same. I've actually picked up some shorts and been shorting the market to kind of hedge against what's happening lately. But immigration, illegal immigration, is a big burden on our society. And we have a country south of us that is pushing people to us. They don't want immigration in their own country. They want to send the South American migrants up to us and leave them there. They want to send Mexicans up to the United States and have them funnel money back. And which, you know, in a libertarian society, I don't really mind it. It gives us cheap labor, and hey, the cheapest, the lower you can lower your costs, the better. And I'm not against that at all, even when it has to do with labor. If someone's willing to work, you're not forcing them to work for a wage, then pay them that wage and enjoy the benefit of it. But the problem is these immigrants are coming and using our subsidies and our entitlements. They're using our public schools, they're using our food stamps, or maybe not food stamps specifically. I shouldn't be too general because I didn't do any research on this because I'm not planning on talking about it. This is totally a side road. But when they are using our tax dollars and we're already in debt, that needs to stop. Other than that, I don't care. And as long as they're not terrorists and things like that, and we can control who's coming into our border, I'm all for that. Because it's not good for business and our success that people are blowing up buildings all the time. I hope that's common sense and not offensive to anybody. We don't want people that want to kill us. That seems pretty logical to me. How did I even get here? Oh, tariffs. So yeah, tariffs are a bad thing, but they can be used for good, maybe. We'll see how Trump does and pulls this off. I mean, the story is still being written on that. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network, and to this little late, but if you want to be part of what the Lord is doing, help us as we are growing the network and preaching the gospel in every area of life, including business and the importance of it. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com, put in HGBT in a memo field, get a sweet mug from me. I send it personally, and I just have much gratitude with every name that I send this out to. Thank you for everyone who has used HGBT to subscribe. That has been a blessing. That helps keep this specific show going as well. Go over there, fightlaughfeast.com, put in HGBT in the memo field. And what else? Oh, I am also continuing to develop my idea for the How to Build a Tent subscription. And again, it's not going to be just more content for you to be consumed. I don't think you guys need more content to be consumed. You probably have too much content and you have to make trade-offs, and that's not what I want to do. But this is going to be specifically about how to make you successful. And what I'm really excited about this is it's going to be, and I've teased this a little bit on my Facebook channel, making a poll about what you'd be interested in paying for. It's going to have trusted affiliates of mine that I've used for my business. So if you are going to need somebody for legal, I have an attorney already lined up. He's a great Christian guy, and he just has been great with, he specifically is in patents, trademarks, and those kinds of things, but he works for a big law firm. And he makes great connections for the other kinds of lawyers that you need for business. Yeah, you need more than one kind of a lawyer for business, especially as you grow and become more successful. So we're and then we have a tax accountant that I use. He's really great. He works in all 50 states. And we're going to be adding technical people, design people, marketing people. And it's going to be just the people that I endorse that you can trust. They're not going to rip you off. They're going to be honest with you. And you are not going to have to pay an arm and a leg. So if you're, that's one of the scariest things, like not even in business, just like when you're buying a car. I just bought a Ford F-150. Oh my gosh. I've been looking to buy an F-150 my whole life. My family's a big Ford family. Sorry, Chevy people. My dad actually broke off and bought a Chevy. It stopped driving in the middle of the freeway at 80 miles an hour. Scared all of us that were in the car. And after that, I'm like, yeah, I'm sticking with Ford. I'm good with my Ford. So I'm really excited to get an F-150. I'm going to be flying and traveling. I'm recording this with 3 days left in Hawaii. So sad. And I'll be traveling for business. And then we're going to stop in Atlanta for a week before we go down to Florida, where we finally find our home in like a month. So we're going to be world travelers, taking the family with me. But I bought the truck in Atlanta so I could drive it around there, and then I'm just going to drive down to Florida. But anyways, I bought it, but I'm not even going to see it for 3 weeks. It's really hard. But what I was saying is it's really hard to do business, even on a personal level, when you're buying a car, for example, and you don't know a lot about the industry. You don't know if you're going to be ripped off, you're getting taken advantage of. So having somebody to kind of help and say, hey, this person's going to take care of you and they're not going to rip you off, it's a really nice thing, I think, right? Like, you feel more comfortable when you have someone vouching for an authority figure or a professional in an industry. And in business, I mean, let's be honest, you're not going to be an expert in all these industries. You're not going to be an expert in marketing. You don't know how much time it's going to take for them to run your social media site. You don't know how much it really costs to build a website. I mean, especially with all the plug-in solutions nowadays. You don't know how much a lawyer, like in discovery, could take like 2 hours, but they really charge you for 10. And you know, when you're charging 200, 250 bucks an hour, that's a big difference in cost. You want just somebody to be able to say, hey, this guy's good. He's not going to take care of you. So that's one of the things we're going to do. I'm also trying to toy with an incubator funding mechanism where this is not going to, again, this is not going to be just content, more podcast stuff, but like kind of, this is really came off of what Marcus and I were been talking about with our episodes, is we need Christians with money to get it and invest in Christians and their success, just like the show is about. So what more perfect way to do that is to kind of combine crowdfunding, these subscription podcast and this idea that we need to come and support people in their businesses and careers. So what I'm thinking, and I'm still working on this, I'm still hashing out the details, but I want you guys to be excited about it, is you guys coming alongside of me and this and other these businesses and having that subscription be part of the fundraising to create a fund to back you guys and other Christians looking to start businesses. Maybe you just don't have the money and you don't, or you maybe even your career. I'm still thinking of ways that we can help you, give you a loan or give you some money and then just like you pay back you pay back a percentage of what you make in your new career or something like that to help you. Maybe it's like just a small three-month coding camp or something, but you don't have the money for it. Maybe there's something that we could do there. And having you guys as subscribers take part of that money instead of having just one big, you know, millionaire funding people, having thousands of us funding a small amount every month and then paying these companies, paying these individuals to become lawyers, doctors, maybe even like funding, I don't know. Maybe not the politician part. I was going to say that, but that could be something different. Again, I'm still working this out. But having us, thousands of us paying a monthly to help fund these Christian people, businesses, get started and start impacting culture that way. And what's really cool is we can do it in a way where you, the subscriber, gets to share in the profits as well. So it could be an opportunity to make money as well. So you're actually becoming a monthly investor in this incubator. And along with all my expertise, we're going to have the people that are the affiliates that you can use also help advise. Excuse me, I have someone from Florida trying to sell me insurance. Oh my goodness. Insurance people, you need to take a hint. When someone doesn't answer a phone call three times, stop calling them. Sorry, that's a whole nother thought. Anyways, so it's going to be an opportunity for you guys to help invest in Christian businesses, Christian careers that are going to be influential. Like there's going to be a purpose for this. And then also you guys are going to have an opportunity to share in the profits as well. So it's going to be a win-win-win. I get to continue to help businesses. That's a win for me. It's going to be a way for me to just devote more of my time to just this podcast and this venture. It's going to be getting great Christian people, experts in their field to come along and come together and create a community to help you guys and other Christians start businesses, help them become more successful and grow existing businesses. And then even in your careers, we're going to figure something out with that too, because it's about also doing great in your careers and becoming an authority in whatever industry you are in. So I'm really excited about that. Again, another thing I did not plan on talking about today, we're already 13 minutes in. And I have so much to talk about. I guess that's what I get for starting to record a podcast at 5:30 in the morning. My brain is just going nonstop. That's the one I'm the most active. So, all right, let's get into Best Buy, because I want to hit some of this stuff before I want to hit everything I talked about in the teaser. It would be totally unfair for me to mention it on the show and then not get to it. All right, so Best Buy, I don't know if you kind of know the backstory of it. It's been around since the 80s, I believe. And it started as a small store, and then they started franchising them, and the franchise became Best Buy. And they really focus on in-store service. They have the newest products, they have high-end products, and it's still pretty much like that today. And 2009 was like a pinnacle. They had 3,889 stores, $45 billion in sales. But when the recession hit, they suffered, and from 2008 to 2009, they started slowing down, but then 2010 through 2013, they started losing money. In 2011, they had $1.2 billion in income. The next year in 2012, they lost $1 billion. That's a $2.2 billion swing. They went from making $1.2 billion in profit to losing $1 billion. That is a gut check. And then in 2013, they lost $443 million, which is no small amount of money either, right? And just take put yourself in that perspective, or put yourself in the shoes of that CEO. What do you do? The internet's coming online. Amazon is rising to prominence. and people are buying online because they can get a cheaper deal because people selling online don't have to pay for the overhead that Best Buys have to use. What do you do? And this is a question that is why the answer to it is applicable to us as small businesses, retailers, online, e-commerce, whatever it is. It's what do you do? And the answer is so relevant. So really get this and really think about this. Now, the CEO at this time at Best Buy probably could have caught this sooner, but thankfully, and I shouldn't say thankfully, because he had to resign because of some relationship issues with an employee. But the new CEO came on board, and this guy was smart. He worked at McKinsey. And if you ever get a chance, if you're interested in being a consultant, McKinsey is like the premier consulting firm. If you can work at McKinsey, you can go anywhere you want after that, and they will hire you. I'm talking like the big companies globally, anywhere in the world. You will be able to go wherever you want. That will just open doors for you. He worked for McKinsey, and then another company, I'm just gonna be honest, maybe I should know this, and it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this business guy doesn't know who this is, but it's Vivendi, V-I-V-E-N-D-I, he also worked for them. Really smart dude. And what consultants do is they identify the problems, the key drivers, and then they work solutions from that. It's actually a really fascinating thing. Maybe we'll get into that someday about like how consultants problem solve and identify problems and come up with their recommendations. That would be a good show. But he realized that Amazon is differentiating themselves by price and delivery speed. And they do an amazing job at that. But not everybody cares about price and delivery speed. And so he started pointing out and identifying why Amazon was doing so well. And again, I use Amazon. I'm an Amazon Prime member. I do like price and speed for certain things. It's amazing. I can't wait to get same-day delivery back on the mainland. I mean, I was getting packages and when I was living in Irvine, California, I was getting packages that I ordered the morning before I got home from work. Yeah, it's a fantastic thing. But there are also, especially in high-end purchases, like I said, you don't want to go into buying something ignorantly. When we were talking about that with my truck earlier and buying cars, you want to know that you're being taken care of. You want all the information. You want to be informed. And some things just cannot be bought on the internet, like a sound system. I would never buy a TV on the internet, because I look at the quality of them, and even though it has the same features and the same specifications, to me, I'm not an expert on TVs, I'm not an expert on sound systems, but when I go there and I look at TVs, I can tell a difference. And when I go and listen to a high quality, high end sound system, I can tell a difference, which my Ford F-150 has, which I'm so excited. Oh my goodness. Sorry, it's gonna run over for a few days of recording. But the CEO identified what Amazon was strong at and then moved into another section, another space of value to provide for their customers. And it turned around the company. And they started becoming omni-channel, like Walmart and Target, and started using their stores as warehouses. They started matching prices anywhere they could. So they were starting to compete a little bit on price. But their main differentiation was the service and being able to bring in manufacturers and having them have stores inside their stores. And they were able to use their expertise to create valuable service. And that is something that Amazon has been striving to figure out. They're starting to make a physical presence. It's like there's this rush. We've talked about it before with Walmart and Target. There's this omni-channel rush where you need to have both. You need to have in-store, you need to have the brick and mortar presence, and you need to have the online presence. And the faster you can figure those logistics out, the more successful you're gonna be. Which could be an interesting little project or a company that could be created. This might be for somebody out there who's looking for an idea, where how do you create an omni-channel conglomerate with a bunch of small businesses? Maybe there is a app that can be built or an association of small business that can be built where you link online and small brick and mortar stores together to create an omni-channel an omni-channel experience, an omni-channel customer value that these big stores are doing, but maybe it can be done at a small scale with some good organization. So maybe there's something around there, maybe there's not, I don't know, but that could be an interesting thing. Then the other thing that they do for to provide their service is they created Geek, or didn't create Geek Squad, they acquired Geek Squad. I think it was in the early 2000s, 2002. And they are techs that will install, fix, or repair anything electronic basically in your store. I think they have 1.8 million a year home visits. So that is what the answer is you need to identify the key drivers, the key value propositions of your competitors, and find places in your industry that are that you can differentiate yourself and do better. In this case, Amazon is really good at prices and delivery. So what did Best Buy do? They stopped trying to really compete on pricing and convenience, and they went to become authorities in their field. And that is what turned them around. Customer service, expertise, and making, and then also going to the omni-channel of starting to build out their website as well. Okay, so that is the Best Buy. Do that for your own companies. Do that before you even start your company. You need to figure out where your competitors are and what you're going to strive for, and your strategy is to differentiate yourself. Now, in the few minutes I have left, and I apologize for rambling on about my F-150 and other stuff that you probably don't care about. Wolf of Wall Street was a very interesting interview, and I'll just hit on one of the points. I was going to hit on a few, but this one point is really, really wise. And this guy isn't a Christian, but I really believe that in all these world philosophies, there are elements of truth that you can, that are true from the Bible, that are biblical principles, but they're just like mixed up in a lie, which is a terrible. I'm not endorsing other religions, but I'm just saying there's things to learn from other people, even if they're not Christians, in my opinion. And this was no different. And he said this, that your values, that your ethics, when you cross the line and do something that's wrong, and he did a lot of stuff that was wrong, you move the line that you have set for yourself of what is right and wrong. So it goes further down the line. So it's not just that when you do something unethical that you cross the line and you can come back from the line and nothing else changes. Like you did something wrong and that's it. And then you'll just never do it again. But when you cross the line moves further away from you. And that is a very interesting concept, and I love it, because as Christians, we know that there is one standard of truth, that God determines what is right and wrong, and the reason that things are right and wrong is because what is right is good for life, abundant life, eternal life, it's what's going to bring us joy, and what is wrong leads to death. And it's harmful, and it hurts us, and it hurts the people around us. And there's no changing of that. But as humans, we do this really weird thing where we create our own value system, and we create our own good and bad standard. And hopefully, as Christians, we're moving that standard closer and closer to what mirrors what Christ is. And that's kind of part of the sanctification process, right? But that standard shifts away from God the more sin, the more immoral things, the more unethical things that we do. And it's an Overton window. You've probably heard that in politics. What is the normal? What is what appears to be the kind of the center? That moves with where you go. And I think that moves the other way too, is the more Christ-like you become, the more you become like him, the more closer the human morality gauge that you have for yourself aligns with Christ. But the more you sin, the more you cross those ethical lines, the farther you go away. And that was just such a great point that you guys need to hear too, especially as you become more successful, as you grow your businesses, as God blesses you with more resources, it's going to be so tempting to sin, to cross those ethical lines. And you need to remember that one, you're not the hot stuff, that what you have is from God and God has blessed you. And two, that just when you cross the line, that's not all. You are shifting your whole value system, and you need to repent of that and ask for God to bring you back to the line more and more to Christ. So that was like the big takeaway for me. I'm sorry we went a little long on that. Remember, identify your key differentiators in your industry with your competitors, and contrast them and exploit them. And also, don't forget that when you cross the line and you become unethical, that line moves as well. And you need to be careful that that line is aligned with God and not aligned with your own morality, because your own morality is fluid, but God's is constant. Now with that, let's go out and be successful together. God bless.